Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to this sixth and final class in the series called Finding the Father's Face, which we've been doing with the men of the Watford Church in this autumn and winter of 2022. And we've been basing it on the excellent book by James Bryan Smith called The Good and Beautiful God. And in particular, a section in the book where he discusses the idea that how do we know what our Father God is really like? The best way to understand that is to look at the way that Jesus relates to his Father God. That teaches us. And in particular, again, narrowing it down a bit more, the way that Jesus teaches on prayer helps us understand his view of Father God. So what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer is a prayer to our Father in heaven. And so we understand there that Jesus is not only teaching us about prayer, but he's also teaching us about the nature of our Father God. And so we've been exploring that over the 6 weeks of this course, and we have examined, well, let's have a little look here, the fact that Father God is nearby, that he is holy, that he is powerful, that he is caring, that he is forgiving. And finally, this last Wednesday, we discussed the idea that our Father God is our protector. That's the part of the Lord's Prayer where we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father God is our protector. So I'm going to bring you now the fruits of what I prepared, but also the discussion with the men on Wednesday. We had a very, very interesting discussion about what is protection and what does God guarantee our protection from and what does he not guarantee? What does it mean that he's our protector? And what does it mean for us, those of us who are dads, as to how we reveal Father God as a protector to our children, but also we act in appropriately human ways as protectors for our children? That's what we talked about. So we did discuss what it means that God is our protector, and we'll come to that in a minute, because clearly God isn't protecting us from all the problems in the world. Many of us have challenges and sicknesses, and we grieve over those that we've lost who've died. So protection isn't about every aspect of possible harm. Perhaps you could summarize it as preventing the devil from taking advantage of our trials. Preventing the devil from taking advantage of our trials, giving us a way out, which we'll talk about a bit more in a minute. But lead us not into temptation can often be also translated, lead us not into testing. What kind of testing? Presumably the kind of testing that the evil one might take advantage of. Deliver us from the evil one. I wonder if those two phrases are connected more than we might realize. Let me go through some questions I asked on the night and a few thoughts that came out of it. Firstly, what causes us to doubt God's protection? Perhaps you have times of doubt. Perhaps it's harm done to us by authority figures when we were younger. Our own parents, other authority figures in our lives may make us doubt God's protection because those people did not protect us in ways they should. Perhaps we feel that painful life experiences aren't fair. As Walter Brueggemann says in Praying the Psalms in that great book, the life of faith does not protect us from the pit. Remember in the Psalms often David's talking about being in the pit. We're not protected from being in the pit. Rather, the power of God brings out of the pit the new life, which is not the same as the pre-pit experience. Sometimes it's the case that the fullness of life only comes by going through the pit, and we come out changed in a healthy way. You could see that, for example, in the life of Joseph, perhaps in the Old Testament. As James Bryan Smith says in his book, though we will suffer problems, accidents, or trials, God gets the last word. Nothing can happen to us that God cannot redeem. And maybe we cannot protect our children from all harm, and perhaps that leads us sometimes to doubt God's ability to protect us from harm. We have that we humanize God too much. Second question, what are some of the consequences of not trusting God's protection and taking matters into our own hands to protect ourselves? Consequences. Well, one consequence is that we hoard and we lack generosity. When we are looking after ourselves, we don't trust God to protect us, we're trying to protect ourselves, then we're hoarding, holding things close to us. You can tell when someone's not really trusting God's protection, and perhaps you can tell it in yourself, when you stop being generous with your time, your money, your energy. You're hoarding it for yourself because you feel the need to protect yourself rather than letting God protect you. In the book, James Bryan Smith says, living from a condition of scarcity, we learn that we must protect what we have. If we give it away, we might end up in dire straits. That's a fear we sometimes have. And also, if we don't trust God's protection, we don't heal. We don't heal from the challenges that come into our lives, healing from sin, our own sin, or the sin of others. We don't heal from our own shame, perhaps. Perhaps we don't heal from our own guilt. What a shame it is that so many walk this life without the healing that is possible. But to be healed, we must trust God's protection. Third question, what are some scriptures that assure us of God's protection? Now, there are loads that the men came up with last Wednesday night. So I'm going to read some excerpts from some of them. I've got them on screen here because there are so many. So let me give you a flavor of some of them. For example, we've got Psalm 23, of course. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me, guides me. Even though I'm in the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil because he's with me. Protection. The rod and the staff that keep the wolf away. They comfort me. And you're going to prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, right? So the enemies are there, but you're protecting me. I'm safe with you. Your hospitality is going to keep me safe. Phenomenal, Psalm 23. And connected with that, I think, John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about himself as the good shepherd. The thief tries to get in, but the one by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. He is that shepherd protecting the sheep, keeping them in the pen, and lying there across the gate so that the wolf can't get in. That's Jesus, right? Laying down his life. Fruitful study there in John chapter 10 about him as the great shepherd and protecting those whose God has brought to him. As he says later on in the chapter, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So, wonderful thoughts in John chapter 10 right there. Then we go on to 1 Corinthians 13, that famous passage about love in verses 4 and following. Well, what if we put God in there instead of the word love? Because this is actually talking about God, not about love itself, I think. It's really about God, because God defines love. He is love. So God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects, always trusts, hopes, and perseveres. What does it mean? That love always protects. God always protects. So love never fails. God never fails. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I think, is a key verse in understanding God's protection. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That seems to me what Jesus is talking about in the Lord's Prayer. When you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can endure it. So that providing a way out is a way of protection. It doesn't mean those tests won't come, but there is a way out. And we need the strength of God for that. We need the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, 26, 27. He intercedes. I think Leon brought this one up, didn't he? I think it was. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So if the Spirit is interceding for us, that's going to help us to be protected. I think Joe mentioned Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Those mountains, no help coming from there. There's bandits in the mountains. There's idols and altars to idols in the mountains. That's not where you want to go. No, your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He won't let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Fantastic passage to meditate on and pray through about God's protection. Psalm 121. I won't look at it all now. I think Leon mentioned 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Strengthen and protect. Those two things go together. It's not that we're removed from the situation, but he strengthens us to help us endure it. And I like Ephesians chapter 1. I think I mentioned this. Ephesians 1, we are marked in God with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. We're protected from the evil one because we have the seal guarding us and saying to the evil one, hands off. This one is sealed, marked, guaranteed for God. We have the Spirit. That helps us. Somebody else mentioned John 17. There's a lot in John 17 to talk about there. But just to say that we are protected. He says in verse 12, when I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. He's talking about the apostles. By the name you gave me, none is lost except, of course, Judas. I protected. We see there in the heart of Jesus, his desire to protect, because he's got the heart and mind of the Father God who protects. And he prays for us. I'm coming to you, verse 13. While I'm still here, they'll have the full measure of my joy. The world hates them. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, out of the difficult testing circumstances. Not that you do that, but that you protect them from the evil one. This seems to me the main protection we're talking about here. John 17, and we could read more of that. Not really enough time today, so we'll leave it at that. So some wonderful scriptures. I wonder what scriptures are most meaningful to you on this topic of being protected by our Father God. I'd like to know, so do let me know. Now, discussion questions we had on the day, you might want to think about personally or in a small group. If Father God is our protector, what does that actually mean? We discussed that. If Father God is our protector, secondly, how can we be more aware of this reality? Because it's meant to be something that's a real thing to us in our relationship with Him. So how can we become more aware of that? And thirdly, if Father God is our protector, how can we enjoy His protection? Surely He wants us to enjoy it. And then thinking about us as dads, same questions. What does it mean to be a protector for our children? What does that mean? And we discussed on Wednesday about the idea that kids should feel safe to talk to us, like the door is always open. They're not going to be judged instantly. The idea that my dad is there for me. He's there to provide guidance and assistance. And as one of the men said about a difficult situation his son had, he told his son, if your friends give you a hard time, just say, I can't do that because of my dad. You can use me as the excuse. I rather like that. It's the idea that it's not really about the son having to stand up for something he can't deal with right now at his age, but he can say, no, my dad says. And maybe that's a bit like us with our Father God. Second question in terms of dads, how can we help our children to be more aware of our protection? Now, aware of it rather than controlled by it. And we did discuss the idea of how some of us may be not hands-on enough. Some of us may be too hands-on. And we like to protect our children by controlling everything in their environment. And that's not going to help them to mature and grow. That will shift, of course, depending on their age and the level of our protection and the nature of it and the extent of it or the detail in it will become less and change as our children get older. But how can we help them to be aware that we are there for their protection? And thirdly, what can we do so that our children enjoy our protection? It's real to them. They can be grateful for it, but it doesn't end up being oppressive and controlling. I leave that for you to discuss and pray about and leave your comments so that we can learn from each other how to wrestle with that. Sometimes a bit of a dilemma or a difficulty and even almost paradoxical at times. I'd like to leave you with this from something called A Short Meditation on the Lord's Prayer, which was written in 1526 by Balthazar Hubmaier. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. But anyway, he said this in 1526, so he wrote this. Father of goodness, look upon us, we who live in this miserable state of woe. We know that children cannot find a better condition than to be with their loving Father, who feeds them, gives them drink, clothes them, protects them, and shields them from all needs. Gracious Father, take us, your miserable children, to be with you in heaven. Lovely sentiments. By the way, miserable in 1526 meant slightly different thing to miserable today. He's not talking about just being sad. I think he's talking about our human, earthly, flawed state. Here we are. Please take us to be with you forever. Well, that'll do for today. I hope you found this useful. Let me know your thoughts. You can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can leave a message anywhere you're here or see this recording and leave it publicly so that we can learn from each other because we learn best when we're learning in community. If you know anybody that might benefit from this, pass the link on. Subscribe, hit the notification button. And when we start a new series in 2023, I shall post about that. We're going to be studying 1 Thessalonians as a church in Watford, and we're going to be using that on Sundays and also for our discussions with the men, going deeper into the scriptures and hopefully learning a lot from the Apostle Paul and what the Holy Spirit is going to say to us through that marvelous and amazing letter. Take care, till the next time, and God bless.